This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Ryan, we have another incredible speaker on the line today. Who are we speaking with?
Yes, our guest today is joining us again. He's been on the show a couple of times. He has been a keynote speaker since 1994. He is the 2001 World Champion of Public Speaking, and he's a newly minted accredited speaker joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome, Darren LaCroix.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I just when you said that, I'm like, wow, I guess I do feel minted. I've never been newly minted before. I love that.
Well, to start off, I want to ask you, Darren, as I just mentioned, you're the 2001 World Champion of Public Speaking. That's a pretty solid endorsement of excellence from Toastmasters International. So why did you decide to seek the accredited speaker designation?
Well, thank you. That's a great question, and actually the most asked question while I was walking around the convention floor. Why did you do it? You didn't have to do that. I didn't have to, but first of all, the essence of where it came from is Kathy Armias was going for her accredited speaker, and she challenged me, and I took her up on it. I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll go through that process, because we were going to go through it together. And partway through, and this year, so I went for it last year. Some people don't know this. I went for it last year and I didn't make it. And I did not do everything I needed to do. So I was denied last year. I made it through the first couple of steps, didn't make it through to the final round. And I was okay with that. You know, hey, I don't want any special privileges just because I won the world championship. In fact, this year when I was going for it, a lot of people asked as well. And some people were like, oh, well, you should get it. You're the world champion. And other people like, well, yeah, you're the world champion. They're going to give it to you. And I'm like, I went back to my advice from Otis Williams Jr., who said past world champion 93. He said, be so good. The only question is who comes in second. Now, the accredited speaker isn't a contest against each other, but I wanted to remove any doubt. I wanted to work so hard that everybody knew I deserved it and had nothing to do with what happened 15 years prior to that. So, and here's one of the reasons that kind of started getting solid and tight for me and my understanding and why I was doing it is that I love the Jim Rohn quote, make it a goal to become a millionaire, but not for the money, for the person it makes you. And so I took that philosophy to this process. I didn't do it for the letters after my name as much as it forced me to work harder. So the presentation that I did, I had done many times before, called the top 10 speaking mistakes. Now, I was only doing 20 minutes. That's all you're allowed. So I made it the top 5 speaking mistakes. But I went to a different Toastmaster club every single day a week prior to leaving for Washington, D.C. And I was a sponge. I got feedback. I asked for feedback. And so many people said that they were inspired the fact that I was, you know, in the ditches, in the trenches, and I didn't take anything for granted. So it was cool to see that the side effect was inspiring people. But for me, it made my presentation better. It forced me to make it stronger and tighter and clearer. When I coach speakers, that's the number one thing we teach is clarity, clarity, clarity. So for me, I'm like, I got to take a dose of my own medicine and realize some of the things that I was doing and some of my slides were good, but they could have been better. So no matter what happened, whether I got the accreditation or didn't, the presentation I worked on got stronger. And that's going to benefit every audience I'm in front of whenever I talk about any of those 5 subjects. So again, the process it makes you, as opposed to the letters after your name.
Obviously, you were well prepared, but I'm curious, were you nervous at all?
That's a great question. I definitely had some anxiety, which I think is good and I think serves us because it means you care about how it goes. But I wasn't anxiety stricken as much as, oh my gosh, how's this going to go? My nervousness was not about, will they like me? Will I forget my lines? Because I was well rehearsed to the point that I knew my presentation. I knew I would get the information across that I wanted to. And I knew I had, as my coach taught me, the privilege of 1,000 lives for 20 minutes. You know, what will you do with that? So my intention was locked in the right place. It wasn't on me getting it or not getting it. It's I got the opportunity for 20 minutes. So I think that takes a lot of pressure off. If you worry about how well you do or, you know, it's a contest and you're focused on you, well, that's bad intention and people can say that. So I had some anxiety and I was doing something very dramatic. If you remember at the end there, that I was told by many people, don't do that, don't do that. And I had a little conversation with 8-year-old Darren and I had only done it once in front of a big audience before. So that was new, but I wanted to bring something new because half the people in the audience had heard me speak before, but most of them had never ever seen this part. And I just wanted to really make that impactful. So I left no stone unturned. Again, I went to Toastmaster Club every single day because I know the value of that. And so it alleviated the over anxiety, if you will, and allowed me to be present. As you guys know, I teach people be present, not perfect.
The 8-year-old you had a voice in the background. Was it being triggered by a recording? How did you do that?
Well, thank you. That was an inspiration that came to me because I thought I originally when I started coming up with the idea that all of us, the concept is there's a wound and from our childhood that kind of defines a lot of us and how we live our life. So I didn't come up with the concept, but how I pulled it off I thought was kind of cool because originally I was going to have a young boy actor be the young Darren and dress him like me or like a picture of me and show people that. But I realized that what if he messes up or what if he makes a mistake or and it was putting too much pressure on the young man that was going to do it for me who ended up doing the recording. So what I did was I recorded each section, so I kind of laid out the conversation that I was going to have with him, knowing what I would say and what he would say. And I had him record each of his responses, and I put it as a separate audio file, and I embedded it into a black slide. So I controlled the conversation by a remote control that if the audience laughed, I wanted to let them laugh. If it was a straight recording, I would just have to time it out with the audio recording of the voice and me, and that takes the audience out of it. So when there was a bigger laugh than I expected, I could hold off on having his response so they didn't miss anything. So it was an audio file for each response embedded in a black slide. So there was maybe 10 slides, each of his responses. Does that make sense?
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. I tried something similar years ago in the days of the analog tape recorder. I had my recorder on pause and then the battery died.
Ouch.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's cool to hear the behind the scenes of the technology of how you pulled that off. In the experience of delivering it on stage in Washington, D.C., how did that differ from your other regular keynote presentations?
Well, it was definitely less time and a lot stronger and tighter. You know, the purpose of the accredited speaker is to give people an example of what you do in the real world outside of Toastmasters. Well, the truth is, in the real world, I teach the same thing that I teach at Toastmasters.
I really enjoyed the analogy that you used because obviously you were speaking to Toastmasters, but really that presentation could be for really anybody. And you used the analogy of the stand-up comedian. You had the opening act, you had the middle act, and then you had the headliner. And you said, I believe, the opening act makes mistakes and the headliner fixes them. And what I really liked about that was that's really global. And I think most people can relate to stand-up comedians.
Yeah. I mean, in the comedy world, there's the opening act, the middle act, and the headliner. And I was a wannabe, you know, when I started back in Boston in 92. I wasn't even on that chart. But because I was in the self-development world, I was listening to Brian Tracy and Tony Robbins. They always said in their tapes, go right to the headliners, go right to people who are the best because they think differently. So you want to align your thoughts with their thoughts to create the habits that they created to get the results that they got. And sometimes we take advice from well-meaning people who are just opening acts. And even though they might have the great intention, they don't have the world-class techniques. if you want to be healthier and be more, you know, have more nutrition in your life, well, who are you getting advice from? Somebody who, you know, eats at fast food restaurants who says, yeah, I just don't eat fries. Well, not eating fries is good, but how about that burger in the bun and everything else? So we've got whatever you're trying to come across, like adversity you're trying to overcome or skill you're trying to attain, you know, write to people who are the best. They think differently. You know, I get different advice from Mark Brown versus well-meaning Toastmasters. And it doesn't mean the well-meaning Toastmasters had bad intentions. It's just that Mark had been coached at a higher level. And so he had better advice, but and I don't want to just use, well, world champion. It's not about the world champion part. There's a great coach that I had, David McElhaney, who was not a world champion, who was a speech coach in Boston. And he was the one who got me all the way to the championship, and he had never won, but yet he was still quote unquote a headliner in that area of focus. Same in the comedy world. I had better habits from headliners than I ever learned from opening acts.
You talk about learning from the process or process. I guess it depends on how you pronounce it. What did you learn from
depends
this?
If we're in Canada or not.
Canada, eh?
Thanks for getting that, eh? Here's, you know, my advice. This is like, I want to talk like about the credited speaker because I think a lot of people don't understand what it is or why it is. A lot of people come to me and I understand that they want to be the world champion because they think it's going to make them a professional speaker. It's not. There's a lot of great speakers who've won the world championship who still work, you know, the career that they were in. There's some people who never won the world championship but got to the higher levels who earn a lot more than me. The bottom line is it's not the best path for being a professional. Now, hey, your skill is important. Compete, 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 whether you're a leader or not. Now, obviously, the district leaders can't compete, but whether you're a leader or were a leader, like our skills, we represent Toastmasters. People are judging the whole organization on your one presentation that they saw at your company. So I believe our skill set, A, perpetuates the brand of Toastmasters the better we are, but B, it's the skill is important to becoming a professional, absolutely. So compete for that reason. However, I believe going through the process of becoming an accredited speaker is gonna force you to learn real world skills. So for example, to become an accredited speaker, you have to submit 25 speeches, the people who are there, the number of people who are there, the location, the date. So one thing it teaches you, the process, is to track your customers, track the people you've done speeches for. So that's helping us with the process. You have to, out of the 25 speeches, I think 15 of them have to be paid. Oh, well, how do I do that? Well, you got to figure it out. But if you figure it out and you have this accredited speaker as a process to follow, it's going to help you understand what you need to learn. It's not going to necessarily give you all the answers. You got to figure those out yourself through friends, through other people who have been there. But the process forces you to get some paid speeches. And in that process, you have to also have three or five past clients have to submit a survey to Toastmasters directly that they answer. Well, those five people, you've got to have great rapport or they're not going to be bothered. So meaning you have to have done such a good speech that they not only liked it, but they loved it and they're willing to do something, a favor for you for free. And what that did for me and what I learned in the process is reconnecting with some older clients. And as a result of that, I ended up getting booked with one of them again. Because nice. I went through the process. So as much as winning the world championship is a nice thing, it's a little credibility, nobody's ever hired me because I have a 35-pound piece of Lucite in my office. I do get hired because I have a great speech and I get it in front of the right people who are decision makers. And I just think the accredited speaker is a better place to focus. Hey, there's no reason you can't do both. But it's a better place to focus to become accredited speaker than the world championship contest.
Awesome.
Well, Darren, you've given lots of information behind the scenes here, lots of keys for people who might be considering exploring the accredited speaker path, a lot of points for success. So thank you for that. And as we close out here, I know you have a resource that you'd like to share with listeners that's related to the content of your accredited speaker presentation. So can you share with us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, after 10 years of coaching speakers from corporate executives in the Ukraine to emerging speakers and Toastmasters to paid professionals, I have seen so many common mistakes. And in my credited speech, I talked about five of them. But I have a free PDF download that if you go to the top 10, number 10, speakingmistakes.com, the top 10, speakingmistakes.com, I'll send you a free PDF. And that will explain what they are. And then you click on a little link from the PDF and it'll take you to a video of me explaining each one of them and hopefully how you can avoid that.
And how can people get a hold of you, Darren?
They could go to stagetimeuniversity.com, my website, my online university, and find me there. That's probably the best place to reach out to me. But I thank Toastmasters. I thank you guys for what you're doing as volunteers, helping the whole organization get better. So thanks for taking your time to put this together, to edit this, to upload this, to set up the next interview, to keep doing what you're doing, to bring us great content. Thanks for what you guys do.
It's our pleasure. It's giving us more virtual stage time, if you will.
It counts. Interview time, podcast time.
I like it. Thanks so much, Darren. Really appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. And we'll see you in a couple weeks, Ryan.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
And once again, congratulations on being newly minted.
Woohoo! I taste minty.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.